Good evening and welcome to a special Thinking Out Loud from KBIA, Title IX at Mizzou, an exploration of gender equity in higher education on campus as a whole and in the world of athletics. Tonight, a panel of those involved in gender equity at the University of Missouri will discuss the meaning of Title IX, how its interpretation has changed at colleges and universities over the years, and how some new hires at MU since several high-profile cases in the last year or two have worked toward a goal of a safer campus and better learning environment for all students. Part 1, Title IX at Mizzou, is next. It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Hello and welcome to a Thinking Out Loud special, Title IX at Missouri. We're going to be talking about gender equity in higher education and education as a whole, and in particular here at the University of Missouri. We've got a panel of special guests for this conversation this evening. First of all, Linda Bennett. She is the interim Title IX coordinator. It's part of the provost's office here at Mizzou. She served in the faculty at Mizzou in the College of Education since 1990. Holds bachelor's and master's degrees from the University of Memphis and a PhD from the University of Northern Colorado. And Linda, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Saloma Gallimore is the university's Title IX investigator. She has also worked as a legal intern in the university's Office of Equity, has experience in the private sector, and with the Missouri Public Defender's Office and the Missouri State Supreme Court. She has bachelor's and master's degrees in political science from St. Louis University and a JD from the MU Law School. And Saloma, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Sarah Reisman has been in athletic administration here at MU for over 20 years, currently holding the title of Executive Associate Director of Athletics, Mizzou's top administrator for women's athletics as well. A native of Boonville, she graduated from Mizzou and also holds a JD from the University of Minnesota. And Sarah, thank you for being here.
You're welcome, Darren.
Saloma, let's have you start as the Title IX investigator for Mizzou. Maybe it would be best to kind of give you the chance to answer the obvious question. What is Title IX and what does it mean?
Sure. Title IX is actually part of the 1972 Education Amendments and states that any institution receiving federal funding is prohibited from discriminating on the basis of sex, and that includes participation in academics, extracurricular activities, research, these sort of things. So essentially, universities are not allowed on the basis of sex to discriminate against students.
And it's become very obvious that this is an evolving process. It didn't kick in 1972 or 1974 and boom, everything changed and it's all been exactly the same since then and there's been no problems, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Linda, you came into the role of Title IX coordinator at a bit of a challenging time here at the University of Missouri. Can you describe a little bit about how your position was started and why it is that there is a Title IX coordinator on campus?
Well, I'll first start with a little history. We have had Title IX implemented and covered on this campus through the Equity Office in a part-time position prior to my appointment in June. So Title IX has been a part of what this campus has done over the years. It just has increased due to the increased need federally and locally for us to have a full-time Title IX coordinator. So that's when I was selected by the chancellor to become the full-time Title IX coordinator for our campus.
Okay. And talk about the ways in which it is being enforced at the university. I mean, obviously, when we say Title IX, there tends to be a thought of it being an athletic thing, but there's a lot more to it than that.
You use the word enforced, and I would like to step back from that.
Please.
Because I think it's built on providing a safe and healthy working and learning environment for our faculty, staff, and students. And so that is just, it isn't just compliance. It's also being sure every member of this community has an opportunity to the education they deserve without being held to sexual discrimination.
Sarah, we will obviously talk about athletics as a part of this conversation, and I maybe want you to go ahead and start by explaining the value of this. There's obviously value to participation in intercollegiate athletics for young women beyond just what they do on the tennis court, volleyball court, et cetera.
Darren, I think it's a matter of this being an educational institution, and so when opportunities are offered, they need to be offered in an equitable manner. So intercollegiate athletics is certainly part of the university and the university mission, and so when you're going to offer a program like that, just like any other class or extracurricular activity, you need to do that in a fair way, in an equitable way.
It's Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Linda Bennett, Salama Gallimore, and Sarah Reisman from the University of Missouri with us. Linda and Salama both, we can talk about this. There's obviously been a great deal of focus in recent months on Title IX as it relates to violence against women. There have been unfortunate incidents in a lot of schools that really kind of brought it into focus. Talk about in what ways changes have been made on this campus in the wake of all of this, and particularly since you've been brought in, and talk about in what ways the campus has been made safer for women.
Well, it's safer for all students, both men and women, because Title IX and sexual assault and sexual orientation can include men and women. So we want to be sure that we're providing a place for all students. So safe in regard to having education and prevention, and that numerous people in the Columbia community as well as on campus are communicating more and providing more support for individuals who have been participants in sexual misconduct such as sexual assault. So we're working together in the awareness. So we've developed a website and other forms of reporting so that individuals have an opportunity to report and be given services if they are involved in sexual misconduct.
And so let's talk a little bit more about that. We've got a lot of different groups involved here. I mean, there's obviously student services, the administration, the president, and the chancellor. There's a rape crisis center here on the university campus. Your office is intercollegiate athletics. Talk about how all of these groups work together.
Sure. Actually, I get reports from all different entities on campus. Sometimes it's MUPD, sometimes it's the athletic department, sometimes it's Greek life. So whatever population predominantly is affected, I can kind of reach out to leadership in that area, whether it be Sarah Reisman or if a complaint comes in through RSVP, mm-hmm. our Relationship Sexual Violence Prevention Center on campus, the coordinator there will work with me if the student wants to go through the Title IX process or learn their rights under Title IX, the right to file a complaint at our office. So it just kind of depends on who the complaint involves, and I'm happy, and everybody is very willing and I guess I don't want to say excited to help, but they really are. The campus is very supportive, and leadership has been amazing with kind of coordinating efforts to mm-hmm. get academic accommodations or, you know, counseling, things of that nature.
And I want to, Linda, have you kind of expand on that a little bit. When things happen that aren't right, obviously we in the media talk about that a great deal. But I would point to maybe not necessarily a related example, but maybe a similar example to the way that the university and the athletic department and everybody on campus responded when the news came out of Michael Sam acknowledging his homosexuality. And there seemed to be a very proactive way that the athletic department and the university as a whole was dealing with that situation. Have you seen that type of cooperation from the university in dealing with some of these other issues we're talking about?
Oh, very much so. That's why we have four deputies across the campus to work with the Title IX coordinator and investigator on our communication and our distribution of that information so that we all have a shared message that is positive and supportive of the members of our campus community, such as that one.
We're hearing an awful lot about this. Is it maybe a situation when we're talking about sexual violence and some of the other problems, domestic violence involving athletes, is it more a matter of we're hearing more about it because it's being reported, because it's being talked about, because universities are dealing with it more in an upfront manner than what it can seem like on the surface, that it's happening more?
Well, I think there are two parts to your question. The first one had to do with athletics, and mm-hmm. the second one had to do with reporting of sexual assault.
Right.
And those are not necessarily the same. So when it's an athlete, it tends to get in the news more because they're athletes. And that doesn't necessarily mean athletes are or are not more vulnerable or in part of the sexual assault cases on this campus or others across the country. So athletics for the first example.
Sure.
And then are there more reports? People are coming forward more and wanting to share their story more, and or others are seeing people mistreated and mm-hmm. therefore reporting more. So I think here on this campus and other campuses, yes, there are probably more reports, but that's because we're there and have shown an interest and had the support.
Now, I've got some experience in public health myself on the Board of Health here in Boone County, and I know that that's been something that the medical community, law enforcement, everybody has been dealing with, not just on campus, but in society as a whole.
Sure.
It's a very difficult situation, and sometimes getting people to just report what's happened can be very challenging.
Individuals, usually it's someone else in some cases, in probably more cases than not, individuals, someone who cares about them, or bystander, another student, or other individuals. So those reports don't always and don't necessarily come from the individual who has recipient of the domestic violence or the sexual assault.
And I think that's a good point to bring up, too. We do have mandated reporting on campus now. So all University of Missouri employees, whether they're faculty, staff, or student employees, are required to report under our new policy, which means that a lot of times I'll get a report from a, you know, professor that says, you know, a student was not in my class today and they referenced dating violence as the reason, which allows me to follow up with the student to make sure that they know the resources available on campus and that they can have academic accommodations if they do need them.
Saloma, how is the medical community involved with that?
Well, we do have a sort of USART is what we call it. It's our kind of comprehensive team on campus. So the hospital is represented, and one of our Title IX deputies is actually works at the university hospital system as well. And we work a lot with the same nurses in our committee meetings to kind of see how that process is going, if our students are being able to access the same nurses to get rape kits and kind of the follow-up after that. We also work with True North. And they provide advocacy to some of our students as well.
Are you finding that it's becoming a little bit easier in dealing with victims of all of these issues, getting reported, getting things talked about, just conversations like this? It's not something that's kept hidden and kept shameful and not talked about.
I think so. And we really try to emphasize the fact that this is your right. It's your right to receive an education. It's your right to feel safe on campus. It's your right to feel safe at your, you know, on-campus activities and educational programs. So I think a lot of it is really empowering students to embrace that. And if there is something that is detracting from their ability to participate in class or on an activity on campus, that they report it and let us know.
It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Our guests again are Interim Title IX Coordinator for the University of Missouri, Linda Bennett, Saloma Gallimore, who is the university's Title IX investigator, and the Executive Associate Director of Athletics, Sarah Reisman. Let's move in, Linda, to maybe a little bit of a different angle on all of this. We talk a lot about sexual violence and domestic violence within the scope of Title IX, and obviously a lot about athletics. Talk about some of the other areas of campus life, about how it affects things. I think particularly, and it's just because of where I'm from, but about faculty, and talk about ways in which it can affect hiring and faculty life at the university.
Well, faculty are involved in the process as mandatory reporters and are concerned about the issue and what their role is on campus. So hiring at this point, I don't see that playing into how hiring decisions are made, but we do have faculty who have expertise in this area, you know, Title IX and the law, and so we're tapping in on those resources as a part of the Title IX initiative. So faculty are involved in that way as well. We have faculty council that is also participating in what's going on with me in problem solving and doing education and prevention.
And just in general, in dealing with people on campus, beyond the student body, there's got to be a lot of concern about some of these issues, and I would assume that there's mostly pretty good cooperation.
Yes, there is. Saloma and I, over the past 3 months, since school has started, have gone out and done educational programming for any group or faculty groups, student groups, staff groups. And so we've touched on almost 3,000 people on this campus in presentations where we're in small groups answering their question, problem solving in individual situations or questions. Then we go back and answer those for those faculty or staff.
Saloma, talk a little bit about how exactly we talk about you being the Title IX investigator. How does an investigation work? Somebody comes to you with a concern about something that's going on within the university. What happens next?
Sure. Well, there's many stages. So I guess it would be kind of a pre-investigation or preliminary investigation stage where I receive a report or somebody does come in my office. And the first thing I do is sort of walk them through our policy. you know, what an informal resolution looks like, what a formal resolution looks like, who's on the hearing panel if they decide to go that route, and you know, in circumstances not involving any sort of sexual violence, we're able to do conflict resolution. So we just kind of talk about the options available to them and what each process looks like. And then after that, I let them know that I'm here, you know, to answer any further questions. And if they do want to move forward, they can. A lot of it also could be not necessarily wanting to go through a disciplinary process, but I've really been struggling my courses. Is there anything I could do? So it may be registering with a disability center. It may be reaching out to professors and see if we can come up with like some alternative learning plans, that sort of thing. Or perhaps switching, you know, dorm rooms or classes, class sections, that sort of thing.
We've talked about prevention and about education, and obviously that's a real big part of this. It's a lot easier to prevent a problem from happening than it is for you to investigate or for there to be challenges to deal with. And maybe talk a little bit more about what happens in the field of prevention here on campus.
Good question. We've had for a long time the Green Dot program. Mm-hmm. If you see my green dot.
Yeah.
Danica Wolf, who is in the RSV Center, is the one who has been the powerhouse in making that happen on this campus, and it has increased over the number of years that she's been there, and additional people have been hired. So her stature and her services on campus and those around her have expanded our prevention education for our students.
I'm sure in your work you all talk to people on other campuses. You're aware of what's going on at other universities. How do you think Mizzou is doing as compared to other schools in this area?
Oh, I think we're doing awesome. Okay. What else can I say?
Well, yeah, maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that we're doing that maybe is above and beyond or ahead of the curve a little bit in comparison to other similar schools.
I think the President Wolf and Chancellor Lofton have been key in making that happen. They have been supportive and have funded and provided the resources that we need to be able to make that happen. So when you have the leadership behind you, I think that's a big part of why this has occurred in the way it has, and that we've increased what we're able to do for faculty, staff, and students in education.
So I'm going to ask you the same question. Just talk about ways in which you're seeing other schools and maybe you feel like we're doing it better in this way.
I think that we've really come forward as a campus and made this a priority. We had Green Dot, that's our bystander intervention program that was presented on homecoming at halftime at the football game. There's a Green Dot banner right now between the columns.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really expressed the university's support for this. Sarah can kind of talk on the efforts in athletics. They have a wonderful program, Show Up. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, please go ahead and talk about that a little bit, because obviously the discussion has been within the world of athletics to a large extent.
Sure.
So in what way is athletics dealing with this?
Well, first of all, our staff has been one of the fortunate groups that's had Linda speak with them about her role and about the expectations for staff on campus with regard to mandatory reporting, but also with regard to the services that are available and to help our staff through a situation where someone may become aware of information. In addition, she has met with both our male and our female student athletes separately through our Men for Men and Women for Women programs. So that's a little bit of a long way to get to Salama's reference to Show Up, which is kind of the theme that the athletics department, our student athletes in particular, have adopted for this year, which is see it, hear it, own it. So the expectation is that while students aren't mandatory reporters, that we expect our student athletes to look out for each other, and when they see a problem or issue, either while it's happening, to kind of implement the bystander options there, but also to share information as appropriate with their coaches or others, or report directly to the Title IX office if they see a problem.
Sarah, let me ask you this. In conversations, whether it was about some of the unfortunate situations, whether it was about what was going on with Michael Sam, in talking with Coach Pinkel, there's more to what's going on with talking about building young men beyond just as football players. And it becomes pretty clear if you talk to Gary for very long at all about this, that he really feels like some of this character building, talking to them about how you treat a girlfriend or how you treat the women on campus, how you treat other people, respect for people from other cultures and whatnot, that it's the right thing to do, but that he also feels like it's part of building a program that in a lot of ways, it can actually lead to making a better program, winning more football game. Having people of character is a part of that. And I guess that would probably be the case with a lot of these coaches, and talk about that a little bit.
No, that's absolutely true. Coach Pinkel has been a leader in that area, and his expectations with regard to the student athletes on his team, I think, have been pretty well publicized, and maybe even not so much publicized, just in how he works with his football players and again, what the expectations are. But that's top down in the athletics department as well. And when Mike Alden meets with recruits, he makes it very clear to the recruits and their parents that while we want to win, growing as a young man or a young woman is the absolute most important thing, the priority that we have as an athletics department and as a university. And then secondly, certainly their academic success and completing a degree. And then we want to win, and we think those things can all complement each other. But it is, again, very clear that those are our priorities.
There's a guy I want to ask you about and give you the opportunity, Sarah, maybe to brag on a little bit, that I think is very overlooked within the athletic department and the successes it's had on and off the field, and that's Pat Ivey. Talk about the role that that Coach Ivey and his staff have in this regard.
Now, Pat Ivey is our Associate Athletics Director for Athletic Performance. In the old days, that was known as the head strength coach.
Right.
But Pat has gone so far beyond that in so many ways, and that's part of his role, but it's also part of who he is. He's a former Mizzou football player, former NFL player, and his belief in what you just described with regard to Coach Pinkel and that the growing of young men and their character is every bit as important as their growth from a muscle standpoint,
right.
That has been huge in the Men for Men program. And then, again, we have the Women for Women program, again, which are really focused on those issues, self-respect, respecting yourself and others, and just that maturation process.
Linda and Salama, when we talk about some of the things that the athletic department is doing, this is an area that a whole lot of people pay attention to. There are people in Kirksville and Shelnob and Cape Girardeau and St. Louis and Kansas City that can't probably tell you a whole lot about what happens in a chemistry lab or an English lit class at Mizzou, but they know if the Tigers are winning or not. And just talk about how important it is to have this go well within the athletic department, just because it's, as our old friend Chancellor Deaton used to describe it, the front porch of the university.
Well, it is the front porch in a lot of ways, and it is they are spokespeople for this campus, and to have the athletes be positive spokespersons on behalf of the other student bodies, I think, is very important. And so, as Sarah said, we work very collaborative together, and the new processes and procedures, I think, that we've done collaboratively with athletics and all the students on campus has made that difference.
It's a Thinking Out Loud special, Title IX at the University of Missouri, Gender Equity in Education, Including Higher Education. I'm Darren Helwedge. Let's take a moment and introduce our guests again. The interim Title IX coordinator at the University of Missouri, Linda Bennett. Salama Gallimore, who is the Title IX investigator here at the University of Missouri, and associate athletic director, Sarah Reisman. Sarah, let's talk a little bit more about just the world of sports and how this has gone on. I know there was a lot of blowback in earlier days about Title IX. I saw a list of the wrestling programs that have been dropped, and there's a lot of them at the University of Missouri. There was a men's tennis team that there no longer is, and blaming that on Title IX is a controversial at best point, maybe a bit of a stretch, but it is. There were people that were against this. There were certainly people that were against it at first when it first came about. Where is that now? Is this something that pretty much is accepted on campuses, or is there still some opposition to the idea?
Well, I can certainly speak for our campus and maybe just indirect observations from other campuses, but I think absolutely it's accepted. Whether it's because people realize there isn't a choice, or I think, which is more prevalent, that people understand this is the right thing to do. This is what we want to do. We don't want to have programs that are playing second fiddle to other programs, and certainly there's some public input into that, in which sport programs get more attention. But overall, you know, our feeling is these are all of our student athletes, and we want them all to be treated appropriately and have the resources to, again, achieve all those three core values and priority areas that we have.
I want to talk with you primarily about this, but you guys can chime in here as well. The basic idea of equality isn't necessarily completely true. I mean, we've all seen, I think, this chart that was in USA Today where they talked about the highest paid person in higher education in each state, and in most cases it was a football or men's basketball coach, you know, the obvious exception being Gino Auriemma at UConn, God love him, but in the coaches, the men's coaches get paid more, we in the media tend to pay a whole lot of attention to football and men's basketball and maybe not as much to softball and women's tennis and some of those things. And from the university, and I say this realizing that I'm sitting at a table with at least a couple of attorneys present here, I make the comparison to the Americans with Disabilities Act. And the two words that I think make ADA very different than a lot of people think they are the words within reason. Is there a certain amount of that with Title IX where it's like we understand that not everything is going to be exactly equal, but it is a goal to try to strive towards?
Well, equal is not really the appropriate way to term it. It's more equity. And okay. So, and I think that's where people get confused. That's a common misconception mm-hmm. that everything has to be equal. What Title IX, and I guess in a nutshell or to summarize it, really requires from an athletic standpoint is that a similar level of resources are provided to an equal number of female and male student athletes. So you can decide to only choose, say, 50 student athletes, maybe a couple of teams on each side that get the highest level of resources. And then as long as if you're going to provide a lower level of resources to other student athletes, as long as there are similar numbers that are receiving that level, that's okay. And it doesn't have to be the baseball team and the softball team that are equitable. It doesn't have to be the men's basketball team and the women's basketball team that are equitable. It's really about numbers. And at a university like Missouri, where we're competing at the highest level, in the best conference in America, then we want to provide a high level of resources mm-hmm. for all of our programs because we want to succeed in all of them. So that's kind of been our choice. Now, when it comes to media attention or public attention, can we force that? Absolutely not. But what we can do is provide opportunities and make sure that we're doing what we can to engage the media and engage the public with those sport programs. And that's really the expectation under Title IX as well.
And that was part one of Title IX at Mizzou, a Thinking Out Loud special. Remember to listen next Tuesday evening for Thinking Out Loud here on KBIA. More with Linda Bennett, Salama Gallimore, Sarah Reisman, and me talking about gender equity at the University of Missouri. Remember, you can follow Thinking Out Loud on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. It's KBIA Thinking. Our thanks to Travis McMillan with the Reynolds Journalism Institute, Pat Akers, our audio producer. Tonight's show was produced by Sam Richmond. The associate producer of Thinking Out Loud is Trevor Harris. I'm Darren Helwedge. Have a great evening.